How Long Gone, coming to you live from New York City in different places, but we're both here, which is feels good.
Oh, it's cold and wet here, bro. What the hell?
I wouldn't say it's cold, but it was wet yesterday. It was not good yesterday. Mm. But I'm sorry.
It's not good.
I'm sorry you had to travel during that mess. I know that really stresses you out.
I wouldn't say it really stresses me out. My body sort of gives up and I sort of just roll over and submit to the punishment. But it was the first time I've been on one of those flights where the landing is like scary spice. You know,
I've honestly, and this is not me being tough because we all know I'm a pussy, I've never felt scared on a plane in my entire life. I don't know why. I just can't imagine that it will happen to me, no matter how bad the turbulence gets or how small the plane is.
I know what you mean. I didn't feel like I was going to die or I was in danger.
Sure.
But it was, you know, there's like the two different kinds of turbulence. There's like everything is fine, you're flying normally, and then you just drop really quickly, and then that kind of, you get the little
stomach.
The butterflies in the stomach, but not in a good way.
Something I chase on the roller coasters, but go ahead.
Yeah. You get the roller coaster feel. It's more fun on the roller coaster when you're preparing for it, and less fun when you've got, you know, some bubbles to start and you're watching American Fiction and your sun chips go a-flying. But we had more of just the wobbly, woozy, just an hour and a half, 2 hours of just like, and then you look out the window and it's just gray rain. You can't see anything. You don't know what your altitude is.
Yeah. I like the idea that if you knew what the altitude was, that would mean something to you.
I'm you know, in the movies when the pilot's tapping his gauges.
It's like
I'm over here tapping my gauges on my altimeter. I can't get a read on it. It's giving Bermuda Triangle, but obviously my altitude does not. Me as a passenger, it doesn't mean jack shit, but I feel grounded when I can see the ground, I should say.
No, you don't.
You look out the window and you're like, not to be so literal, but it's true. But you look out the window and you're like, oh, great, we're over the ocean, I'm going to die. Versus like, oh, we could sort of land in that field, maybe, you know, that kind of thing.
No, it's wishful thinking.
But yeah, it's fine. We had to miss dinner because I was so late. We did that cool move where after one of those death drop landings, then you sit on the tarmac for 2 hours.
Yeah.
While the captain goes, we can see our gate, but we're there. The airport has no employees working here to receive us.
So we can the gate's not available right now. So
yeah. An hour later, he's like, so we did land at the airport. We are in America.
Honestly, that makes me crazy. That shit makes me fucking crazy. When we sat on the tarmac for like 3 hours, but taking off from Korea, and I was like, you can't make this flight longer. You know what I'm saying? You can't add 3 hours of tarmac sitting to a 14-hour flight. Like, it really hit me below the belt. Let's say
tarmac sitta.
Yes, exactly. My new single tarmac sitta is dropping soon. But yeah.
I did finally watch American Fiction, though. Friend of the show and ex-guest Cord Jefferson's film, and I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. I'm glad.
Winner. I tried to watch Zone of Interest, but it was a little too dark. I couldn't really get into it.
Bro, who cares? That sounds fucking boring as hell. I have no interest. No pun intended.
I'll watch it again one day, but you know.
It's clocking in at 90, or excuse me, at 2.5 hours. Correct. Like it's no joke.
I didn't make it to the end. An hour in, I was like, so this Nazi is still gassing people to death, and then he's gonna walk his dog, and then he has a meeting, and then his kid goes in the backyard. Okay, this is the most boring shit I've ever seen in my life. I'm sure I missed something or I wasn't in the mood. I'll revisit it again one day, but wasn't moving the chains for me.
That's interesting that you're a revisitor. I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever like started and been like, oh, I'm not in the mood, and then actually gone back and watched something.
Isn't that cray cray? But yeah, here we are.
I mean, I guess on a plane, things are different.
Yeah, yeah, everything's different. But yeah, I'm here. I'm safe and sound. I'm staying in a cute little neighborhood called Times Square.
it's like the West Village, but like a little louder.
Every single person seems to be Russian here.
You mean like tourists?
In Midtown. Yeah, every tourist is like a Russian person on their cell phone who stops their conversation to look and laugh at me and then talk about me in a language I don't know about.
This sounds like some classic TJ paranoia, but I mean, what would they, is it because of your outfit or your height?
Probably the height, maybe.
They don't have them big in Russia? I feel like everything in Russia is big.
Yeah, they do have a lot of big boys in Russia. But
more,
man, they really be talking.
More wide than tall, though, I guess. That's in.
They're
in,
built like a brick shithouse, these types.
Just please don't confront any of them, because they will kill you and not think twice about it.
That's why I'm so frustrated and I have to take it out on them on my podcast.
So the Russians are going to the fucking Eminem experience in Times Square and you got to duck and dodge. They're hitting the Sour Patch Kids store and Jason's got to take a hard right.
We want Reese's Pieces.
I love you going into the M&M store to check it out, and it's just only Russians and you just don't understand what's going on.
I went into the M&M store and an employee walked up to me and he's like, oh my god, just take whatever you want, it's all free for you, just thank you so much for being here.
We love you. Do you like peanut butter pretzel? What do you want?
There's no price.
Oh man, I've actually never been to the M&M store, but I've
oh, you must.
Since I'm off M&Ms, I think it would be too tempting. You know, I think it'd be too, it would be like going into a fucking Pfizer plant, you know?
I'm off M right now.
I'm off M right now.
Yeah, so you just got back from ATL, you're back in New York.
Yeah.
And now we're just thriving.
I got back yesterday too. My flight left at, you know, 8 a.m. I got back by 10. It was actually pretty good. Everything worked out, except then I got here and it was pouring rain. But yeah, everything was good. Another great experience from the Delta Airlines Corporation. Just leaving on time, landing early, even. We had a crazy tailwind. Oh my god, we got.
I was just talking to my good friends at a Delta Diamond telephone line right before we hopped on this call.
Did they treat you with respect?
They did treat me with respect while they gave me a very large number of dollars that it would cost to
change my for flight. Sure. Well, you know, it's always more than you want it to be. I'll say that. How how much? You can bleep it out. Oh, okay. For both.
No. Per person. Just for me.
Okay.
Carolyn would be.
Oh, that is high. That is high. That sucks. Usually, if it's under 1,000, it's like, all right, fuck it, whatever, if you have to do it. But over 1,000, I don't know why. It feels bad.
Old KK might have to come out of pocket for this one. We're having a fun morning so far. But let's not talk about bad stuff. Let's talk about good stuff. Our guest today is an authoress. Did you read the book? Did you get the book?
Yeah, I've got the book. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What does it take for them jeans to get a copy of this book? Or did you buy it?
No. You should probably just ask for it, is usually how that works, if you want one.
Who did you ask? Just for moving forward.
She asked me, but you could ask her.
Oh. So it's a normal thing to ask an author for a free copy of their artwork?
Yeah, are you kidding me? These fucking, that's the only way. I mean, these publishers,
I'm not
are,
kidding you. I don't know how this game works. It feels disrespectful.
Any book you want, you ask a publisher, they will send you that book and you'll have it the next day without fail.
Yeah, but that's you. We're talking about me. You know what I mean?
No, it's still the same. It's absolutely the same. If you have the email address, then they will send you the book that you asked for. Like, if you're able to get in touch with them, they'll happily send you the book. And it's always quite fast. I don't like when it's like, I don't like getting like the manuscript. I like it to be finished. Right. Sometimes they'll send you like it's too early, but it's like a pre-galley. I'm all set on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like a finished version. But yeah, you just ask and they'll send it to you almost without fail.
Okay. This is good. This is why I ask to ask. Thanks, Chris.
Well, actually, no, most of the time it's stuff I want if I'm asking. When it's some shitty cookbook that they want us to have the author on the podcast, I'm like, I don't need this. Please don't. Please do not send it to me. The amount of cookbooks I have is crazy, considering I've never even cracked open a cookbook in my entire life. Mm-hmm.
The only time, maybe if the pages were particularly absorbent, if you spilled something, you might rip a few out to mop up a spill on the floor.
I use all my cookbooks as paper towels.
Honestly, we're joking, but this could be is it a bug or a feature? You know, printing on paper towel.
It feels sustainable to me in a lot of ways. To be complete,
at the very least. If you don't think our world is in danger. It's time to take a look in the mirror, Chief.
Get your head out of your ass, big boy. All right, yeah, Lauren. Lauren Euler's new book, No Judgments, No Judgment Essays, is out now. I think she's in America right now, actually. I think she's still maybe on the tail end of her book tour, or maybe she's visiting her family.
Where does she normally live? In London?
Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every time I see her name, I'm reminded of my high school days, because the mascot of Huntington Beach High School was the Oiler.
But the regular spelling.
Yeah.
Damn.
The petrol spelling, the fossil fuel spelling. Not
how is
spelling.
How's the merch looking for Huntington Beach High Oilers? Is it like the?
It's a little. I don't know what it looks like now. Before it was kind of giving like prospector. It's like oil rush vibes.
Sure. Yes.
But now they probably modernized it and made it look goofy and stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they usually do that with. I'm sure they've done an update many times over. I'll check the merch store online.
Do that.
All right, let's give Lauren a buzz.
Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. Mm. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, taking an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off. That's more than half at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees. Okay, how long gone? We're here with Lauren Euler. We need to get into this fucking bullshit. What were you saying?
You're saying that we're second on the docket today? Or you've done this?
Wait,
is...
you guys, I'm a girl boss. I'm a girl boss. You're number one in my heart. You know, I love hanging out with small groups of men. But some Canadians, I was interviewed by some Canadians an hour ago. So you know,
Canadian men or Canadian women?
Women. But I was thinking of you the whole time.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
I wonder what the boys are doing right now. That's the kind of stuff you're thinking about. When you said you like to hang out with small groups of men, I need a number amount on what is too many men to hang out with.
Too many men, I would say 5 is too many.
So it's okay. it's like a dinner res. We like a 4 top, that's good. Anything more than that, it starts getting murky.
Yeah, and like they're competing, and then they sort of start talking about sports or philosophy, and you don't really want to talk about that, and then you have to like quote something.
I want to make it very clear.
You only have 2 ears and 2 hands. Yeah. There's only so much you can handle.
We're only going to never talk about philosophy or sports. Don't worry about us. Like you're
certainly not.
You're in a safe space.
I actually, I'm really into the intersection of those two things right now. If you wanted to sort of sidebar on that for a hot 45. No, we're just kidding. You know, I'm glad. Thanks to the Canadian homies for warming you up.
Yeah, I'm warmed up. I had a beer.
Whoa.
Okay,
calm down. Where are you? Are you home? Are you back in Berlin? Or are you somewhere in
America? I'm home in Berlin. It's actually sunny.
Oh no! Oh no!
I'm at peace.
Oh no!
You're like, she's wasted.
It's if it's sunny in Berlin, that just means a bunch of people with bad haircuts are out laying down on the grass drinking wine somewhere. So no, it's just
it rained, so the grass is wet. But the thing about Berlin that's funny is there's a distinct moment every year where like the hot people come out, and you're like, where were these people? They're like, really hot people, and they were not around all winter. And you're like, what? Where did you come from? Because they don't seem like they're visiting. Like they live there, but like, where did they go?
They've been in hibernation on ice.
Yes, yes.
And you're singing Rihanna, "Where Have You Been All My Life?"
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
I'm always on the prowl.
It's partly because, I mean, maybe they're just inside making techno in the winter months because that's, you know, a better use of time.
We've been on tour, stupid. I've been in Santiago, Chile.
Where do Germans go for a warm holiday? Spain?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. They go to Mallorca. There's streets in Mallorca. There's Schinkenstrasse, which is Ham Street, and there's Bierstrasse, which is Beer Street. These are colloquial, or they might, they're colloquial terms in Mallorca for the places that the German tourists like to go.
To be clear, sorry for interrupting. You just said Ham Street, as in ham, like the pork food product.
Yeah, Schinken. Okay. Schinken is sort of like bacon, but it's not quite. It's certainly not the bacon that we know and love as Americans.
Sure.
They have lots of different kinds of pork products.
I can only imagine.
Bierstrasse, which is Beer Street, and then they also like to go to Thailand. Which,
because they're sex freaks, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're sex freaks, but they can only do it in a certain context. Like it has to be like the appropriate place to be a sex freak. That's why they also have Berghain. Because like that's like where you can be like a sex freak, but you can't be a sex freak like just at the bar or anything like
sure.
that.
So when you go to Beer Street, is that just is that kind of a
where they land on that name anyway? What a fun
lined with places to drink beer, and then Ham Street is lined with places to enjoy yamon.
I just keep thinking Ham Street is just like a derogatory term where they say all the fat people go.
That is, you know,
look at all the big backs on Ham Street.
it's like there's Boys Town for the gay guys. Yeah. Oh, that's, you know, Ham Street over there. That's where the fatties go. You know, like that kind of thing.
I've never been, so I can't speak to it. I'm not German. I'm not German. I'm from West Virginia.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Also, the last place I was in the United States, I came back. I got back to Berlin yesterday morning, but I was in West Virginia seeing my family. So if you hear the Appalachian, the tones, the sexy tones, that's where that's coming from.
I thought I smelled OxyContin through the Zoom, but I guess.
Oh no! Don't say that.
Don't say that.
No.
We don't say the O word. We don't say the O word, Chris.
So is there a direct flight from West Virginia to Berlin.
Shut the fuck up! Don't mock me. Don't make fun of me.
There is not,
that ain't right.
There is not a direct flight to Virginia from West Virginia, Chris. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. I traveled for 20 hours. My flight from Charleston, West Virginia, left at 6:15 in the morning to DCA, Reagan National Airport. Mm-hmm. I stayed at Reagan National Airport for 5 hours.
Our last good president. Continue.
Yeah. I stayed there for 5 hours, and then I took a flight to Newark, and then I had a 2-hour layover, and then I flew from Newark to Berlin.
Oh, shit. That sucks. You couldn't go from DC. You couldn't go from DC to Berlin. I assume there was DC's big.
Yeah, DC is big, but Berlin is small. They opened the new airport in Berlin after like years and years and years of them saying they were going to open this new airport because the main airport, the former main airport, Tegel Airport, which is widely beloved by Berliners, was like way too close to the city, and like it was like basically like almost dangerous, and it was too small. It was designed, I can't remember what it was designed, but it was designed for basically
it was charming, though. It was kind of charming.
Yeah, it was really charming, and it was like you didn't like have to walk through a mall to get to your gate. Like it was very easy. You could take the bus there, and everybody was like furious that they were going to close it and couldn't possibly believe that they're going to close it. But it was designed for like, I think I just looked at this for some reason. I think it was designed for like 1 million people like a year or whatever. Right. And like, it was like 4 million people were coming through there all the time. So they had to make a new airport. But then as soon as they opened the new airport, everybody was like, this airport sucks. Fuck Berlin Airport. Like blah, 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 blah. It's perfectly fine. It's a completely normal European style airport. And I like this about it. It's like not really a European capital in certain ways. It's like halfway to Eastern Europe. So they don't like the flight situation. There's only one direct flight to New York per day, I believe.
I was in the airport recently. It was pretty nice though. The new one.
It's perfectly nice. They had some issues. My friend was there a few weeks ago and like the power went out, so they couldn't like put anyone through security, and they had some like luggage issues where like every single person lost their luggage for some period of time. But that seems like a normal airport. It's like welcome to reality, where we were like Berlin was like living in this fantasy world, and it's like yeah, that happened.
We got to get the kinks out. It's new.
I know.
You know, I'm sure there's a learning curve for all of.
We had a challenging onboarding.
But I was thinking about Berlin. Like I talked to Chris last week, I guess, whenever that was. And you said, I still feel like New York is like the most important city in the world. What is the most important city in the world? And I was thinking about that today because I was like, oh, actually what's nice about Berlin is that nobody wants it to be the most important city in the world. And it's certainly not the most important city in the world. Like they just want it to be what it is. And the New York psychosis is that like, if it's not the most important city in the world, like what do we have? That's all. Just some thoughts from the cultural critic Lauren Euler.
Okay. So anyway. What I'm understanding from that is that you're saying part of Berlin's charm is that it doesn't want to or aspire to be the most important city in the world. It's just what it is.
Yeah, it is.
Which
what
makes
it
cool,
humble, and pleasant.
Yeah, and they hate the nice new airport, even though it's like much more convenient in many ways. I think like Google tried to open some offices down the street from my house, and like they were so reviled and like vandalized so often that they're like, you know what, fuck you guys, like we're not going to do that. obviously, they hate the Tesla factory that is near the new airport. In fact, but I think it's like far enough away from the center of town that people certainly protest it. But like everyone's like, fuck you, we hate this. And of course, it's nice that it's like this because it's still in the middle of Europe. You can still get anywhere. Like you still have your mod cons, as the British say.
What's a mod con?
Modern convenience?
What is a mod? Yeah, modern convenience.
Modern convenience. Okay. Sick. Wow, I've never heard that one before.
Go TT.
That's depressing as hell.
Yeah.
Not for me. I got it first try. It's not a big deal. Okay. So
yeah, that was great. You spent enough time in London.
Not really. Much less than both of you guys combined. I wanted to ask. So you did just do an interview before talking to us. You've probably been doing a lot of press and interviews, book tour stuff. It's part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is sort of about anxiety, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
What interview or piece of press so far has made you the most anxious?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I was just anxious. I was most anxious that I wasn't going to get any because this is some inside baseball stuff. But March 2024 was considered the most crowded month in book publishing that has maybe ever happened. And like all of the books that were coming, I was like Judith Butler, like da 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 da, Vincent Cunningham, like blah blah blah. Like there was like a list, like LitHub did a list of like all the books that were coming out in March, and they didn't even put mine on it. And I was like, excuse me, I'm sorry, like what's wrong? And so then I was like, what's gonna happen to me? And I was like really, really nervous about this. I was like drinking so much and smoking so many cigarettes, and like the beer didn't work. And I was like, I gotta go to Beer Street, I gotta go to Ham Street, what's gonna happen? And so I had to
usually the drinking and smoking is great for anxiety.
Yeah. It didn't even, I was like, I would drink like three beers and I would be like, I don't feel anything. So I had to do some old school Twitter addict, like guerrilla missions, like trying to get people to pay attention to my book, which worked out very well. Cause I got this, kind of crazy review in The Guardian maybe like a month before the book came out.
Yeah, I saw an excerpt of the book in this local zine, The New Yorker or something like that. So you're able to get some cool kind of DIY press like that.
Yeah. I'm like working for street cred, you know, I'm not a sellout. But I was nervous. I was like, what's gonna happen? So once I started getting reviews, I was like, that's fine. People can say whatever they want to about me.
As long as they're saying something about you.
The people are saying stuff. I can take it.
Can you? I was gonna ask you because some people are going in.
Yeah, but it's the thing is, I didn't know that I was doing this at the time. But if you develop a reputation as like a harsh book critic, it ends up being like the obvious thing to try and take me down. And yes, so it's like, yes, you're like, okay, sure, like nice try.
I would love to judge this bitch.
Yeah, I know. And but they want it too bad. You know what I mean? Like the reason I'm good at it.
I'll do it for free.
Yeah. You know, the reason I can do it is because I'm like a reluctant hero where I'm like, I've been called to serve. And I was like, I thought I got out of this, but this book was too bad, you know? But so
they keep calling me back.
I had an idea that was like evil, that I wanted to like write panning my own book. Everyone tries to take me down because I'm known as a harsh critic. Unfortunately, they're all really bad at it. Here's how it's done. But the publicists in my life were like, please don't do that.
Can you please just give, please, we've had enough of you. Okay. It's been a busy month.
Yeah. It's bordering self-harm.
Yeah. And also I didn't want to write an article. And I would probably require me to read my book again, which I also don't like doing, also self-harm.
You're like, now that I'm a published author, I think writing an article is kind of beneath me at this point in my career, even if it is a satirical review of my own self.
I love writing articles, but you can tell I'm having like I'm very anxious or like something's going on with me psychologically. Like when I say I feel like writing a magazine article because I find them so torturous and like so difficult to do. And so if, like my friends or my boyfriend, I'm like, I feel like writing a magazine article. I haven't done one in a while. They're like, don't do that. Put the computer away. Here's some drugs. Like, let's go partying right now. Like we need to weaken her resolve immediately. I don't know.
Okay. So that's a telltale sign of things are going bad when you feel the urge to write a magazine article.
Yes.
Okay.
So perhaps the book tour is more stressful.
Why does that tear you up so much? Is it about the timelines? Is it about getting it done? What's the issue?
She likes the pain. it's like a cutter.
Well, it's like a cutter. Yeah. I think that I'm very bad with deadlines, but I'm sort of knowingly so, but I really can't start writing until like it's basically due. And now I work with people who sort of know this about me, but so they give me a deadline and I know it's kind of a fake deadline, but then I know that. So then the deadline isn't real. So then I sort of have to do this kind of stupid pathological dance where I like try and like let it go as long as possible until they start sending me emails that indicate like, actually, really, you need to do it now because the true deadline where it's not going to go and the issue is going to pass. So like I have to get into this like anxious, like state where like my life is about to fall apart before I can really do it.
It's called edging. Mm-hmm. It's called edging. Mm-hmm. I do it all
There's
the time.
There's a word for
it's
that. Edging. There's a word for that.
It's called edging. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like doing magazine articles, but you know, if you're an artist like myself, you can't, there's a ceiling to how good I can be. And like, you're not going to like do your best, like creative, like spectacular argumentation or your best, like, you know, it's just not going to be your best work. Hopefully.
Not with that attitude. Hopefully. Got it. Yeah. Hopefully your best work is not a magazine article. Okay. I see your point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No shade to magazines.
No, I love magazines.
Cover your ears, Will Welch. We're not talking about
you. The best stuff I've seen lately is an anonymous Substack. So magazines have their work cut out for them. I have to say.
Yeah. You don't like what the cut is doing with it. I guess it's not.
Are you talking about the personal essay where someone embarrasses themselves for $300?
Yeah. Yeah, I am talking about that. Well, it's just funny. I thought we were sort of over that. I thought everyone had agreed that was unethical.
I don't think
it is interesting to
I don't think it's unethical. I do think it's fleeting. I feel like you get 12 hours of action from that and then it's completely over. And you have to have it's a yeah. The burn rate is very high on that kind of thing.
Yeah, and then also the person who writes it lives with the embarrassment forever.
Yes. Well, it's embarrassing to do anything.
Yes.
So I guess it's, you know, trying to do anything is deeply embarrassing.
Literally anything.
Okay. So getting ripped off for $50,000 or marrying an old guy, I guess it could be worse. Kinda, I don't
I think if you write something good about that, then it you get a compensation prize, right? But if you just write a cut article about it, like, you really have just been ripped off and you've added insult to injury. Mm-hmm. Whereas like I was talking to someone about the more recent cut essay, which was about like, oh, I'm, you know, marry an old guy, but it was actually marry a rich guy, like, about, you know, this is sort of lacking self-awareness.
My favorite one.
Thing. But there was like a moment at the beginning where she could have been kind of ironic, and there was like a point at which it turned and you were like, oh no, this person is serious and she's going to say all this stuff seriously. But there is a point in all of these kinds of personal essays where you can, they could have gone the other way and they could have said, here's how the personal essay that I might have written about this for $300 could have gone, but I'm going to parse all of the stupid bullshit that is involved on this issue and sort of implicate myself in that and say like, I also thought this stupid bullshit, but now I've realized that I was an idiot. But they never do that, right? They always like need to save face somehow by being kind of earnest.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Anyway, I hate magazines.
Taking the pussy ways out.
I love magazines. I hate writing magazine articles. Also because I find editors oppress me and they stifle my creative genius.
Preach, girl, preach.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah, from cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah. So if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real, with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
So you mean you send them way too much and they whittle it down for you and that upsets you?
No, I don't often send way too much. Sometimes I send a bit over, but often they'll take a bit over. It's more like they want you to like pull out certain parts that you don't are not your favorite parts, or they like cut all the jokes. Like the first thing they do is cut the jokes. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I think you can see like I go on a tangent and then you realize like by the end why the tangent related, but you have to sort of, it's like latent as opposed to in a magazine article. Like they want everything to be a little bit spelled out. And again, I find that stifles my creative spirit. so it's frustrating. Anyway, I love Harper. I love writing for Harper's Magazine. Wonderful magazine. They're great. Let me do all sorts of crazy
how's the,
stuff.
How's the pay? How's the pay over there at Harper's? Pretty good.
Pay's great. Yeah. It's not
okay.
I believe the best paying, like I believe the best paying magazine is the New York Times Magazine. I could be wrong. I mean, also it depends on your negotiation tactics. I don't negotiate because it's not in my nature.
Does somebody from your team handle that?
Have you ever thought about maybe changing your nature? Because it seems like you're leaving some money on the table.
I probably am. But the thing is, so they have this, there's this saying in freelance writing. I'm sure they have versions of the saying and all sorts of things. But as a freelance writer, you have to be on time, good, and easy to work with, pick two. Mm-hmm. And I'm not on time. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be really good and I'm going to be easy to work with. And so
I'm familiar with that. I'm familiar with that, but it's usually hot, rich, or smart are the three, kind of. And you got to pick two. But I know that.
And which two are you?
Let's go pay some bills.
Yeah, actually, I don't have two. Fuck, I'm like half of one, and that's smart.
Yeah, well,
which is the least interesting one?
No, that's the best one.
I don't know what I'm.
That's the best one.
No,
it's the best one.
Rich is the best one. No, let's be honest. Rich is the best one.
No, I'm a Berliner. We don't like that stuff.
I'm not saying rich and dumb. I'm just saying rich and not maybe as smart as others. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
there's levels to
He's
it,
willing to
this.
Sacrifice a little bit of knowledge.
I'm willing to sacrifice, exactly. I'll leave a little knowledge on the table.
Mm-hmm. Move it around. Diversify. Yeah,
you don't want to intimidate people. They don't like it. They don't like it. You use a big word, they're like, well, you think you're better than us, huh? And you're like, well,
that's true. That's my southern shame, you know. Yes. When I go home to visit my family and they're all calling me Hollywood, you know. It's
Mr. New York I live Times, with this. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
How much did those shoes cost?
this is all stuff that has happened to me. It hasn't happened in a long time, but all of that has definitely happened to me. Did you, when your family, when you,
how
when
much
you went back
those
to visit,
shoes cost?
When you went back to visit your family, were they kind of looking at your away suitcase and asking how you got so rich?
No, certainly not. But when I'm in West Virginia, like just when I'm out and about, like sometimes people will be like, "You're not from here, are you?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, I am from here." But I could just not like wear all black and like sunglasses. You know, I like dress like a celebrity incognito. Like I don't really need to do that. But no, my family is like is sort of with it, and they don't judge me. Mm-hmm.
They get the Peacock channel.
They're MSNBC liberals.
Wait, hold on. They're liberals?
Yeah.
Oh, then you're not Southern.
They got some of those down in West Virginia.
No, we're taking away your Southern card. If your parents are Biden supporters, you're not from the South. Sorry.
Oh my God. First of all, West Virginia is technically the North. Otherwise it wouldn't exist. They seceded from Virginia in 1863 because they didn't want to own slaves. Not because they weren't racist.
Okay, calm down. All right, calm down, social studies teacher. Calm down.
Not because they weren't racist, but because they were so poor, they didn't want to pay taxes.
To be clear, we are racist and we love slaves. We just wish they were cheaper and more affordable.
I am not racist. That's why I left. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? West Virginia. No, I have lots of street cred West Virginia stories that unfortunately I'm not going to tell you because it's too real. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, there's still a couple cold cases out there.
Yeah.
Hold on. What are you saying? Your stories that show how authentically West Virginian you are would get you in some sort of trouble. Or
she's saying it was self defense, but the court may not see it that way.
Did you ever
remember? No, I'm not trying to go on the Coastal Elite podcast and like embarrass my family and people I grew up with. You see what I'm saying? You know?
About the one time you stole a tractor, kind of, you know, like the crimes are not going to be giving chic is what you're saying.
It was accidental. Oh, no. You didn't mean to run over that person with your truck. It's a Caitlyn Jenner situation. We know how it goes.
Oh my God. I could say something and you guys would shut up and you would feel so bad, but I won't. anyway.
Yeah, you can't shut us up. We're going to do a podcast.
No. You would be like, I'm sorry, Lauren. That sounds terrible. I'm sorry you went through that.
We could talk about this awful life-altering tragedy that happened to you off the record, maybe.
Yeah.
Later.
We were talking about sort of drinking and smoking as in the realm of anxiety activities, but what about anxiety eating? Where do you run to, and have you found a way to kind of do it in a healthy way?
Oh, no, I don't eat. That's my issue. And then you get more anxious. Like you're like shaking. Cause you're like, oh, I haven't eaten because I'm like nauseous. So I don't want to eat. Mm. Because I'm too anxious. I'm unfortunately one of those girls. it's like a bad feminist, kind
door
of
swings
thing.
Both ways.
Yeah. And also I, am like incredibly lazy and I have a neurosis about like going to the grocery store and I like hate that you have to pick something to eat three meals a day. I find this overwhelmingly taxing. Mm. And so the combination of these two things is like, and I have a bad schedule. Let's say like I have a bohemian lifestyle where like I don't wake up at the same time every day. Like I get drunk at 4 p.m. Like I do also, I went to spin class at noon today or whatever. So like you don't eat at a normal time. So then you just
is crazy.
I want to talk about a German spin class, but go on.
We can talk about it.
We will talk about it. Let's say best case scenario, you become a wildly successful authoress. So far, so much so that you have maybe can afford a chef, private chef to live in home. Is that something that would be appealing to you, or would you not be able to handle that either?
Well, I don't want them to live in my house.
Yeah, they come in. They come in from time to time, make you lunch and leave.
I don't. No, that's not really appealing.
Okay.
What's appealing is like having enough money to just like eat out all the time. Mm-hmm. I think.
There we go.
To be
baby.
Honest,
mm-hmm. You're speaking my language.
Support local businesses. Okay. have the ones that you go to. Like, not be too neurotic about it.
Sure.
A chef is upsetting to me on many levels.
and like the convention of a chef, or a chef being in your personal space.
The John Favreau film, I hate it too. But go on, please. I'd like to hear more about this.
You don't want to see them work. Maybe you just want to taste their.
Well, I also think, like, if you're someone's private chef, like, that's probably a good job. But mm-hmm. I don't want them in my house. I don't want to be alienated from my kitchen. Like, I don't want to, like, not know what's in there. I don't want to not know, like, what ingredients I have in case I do mm-hmm. want to make something.
Whose yogurt is this?
And I also don't, I feel like it's like another thing to manage, which I'm like terrible at. Right. So I'm like, I don't want to like tell you what I feel like eating today because I don't know. And I don't want to have that conversation. And then I don't want you to like make me something that I also don't want to eat.
Wow. I thought I had anxiety.
I would rather like go down the street to the fucking salad place or whatever and pay $13 for whatever stupid
me too
thing. You know?
I would a driver I want, a chef I don't need.
Well, I have no need for a driver. I want the money to like do anything conveniently like when I need to, but not regularly. I like my bohemian schedule. What I need to do is like grow up and just go to the grocery store all the time. It's a 6-minute walk away from my house. And I live in Germany. Like the groceries are very affordable. Like I should just go to the grocery store and not eat a fucking protein bar because I didn't eat lunch.
Maybe your boyfriend can get in the kitchen.
Well, he does. He's a great cook. But
at what cost?
I have a feminist belief in equality and I'm like, I don't want my boyfriend to be cooking for me all the time.
That's more of a woman's job anyway. So
yeah, the classic,
you
belong in the, go make me a sandwich, woman, like, yeah. But for dudes kind of thing.
I know, but I don't want to do that. I like, you know, I also like, I'm quite good at cooking. I just don't do it that often, but I like, okay, like everything about surprising. I like surprising people with how good I am at cooking.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend in Canada. She's really hot, but nobody, yeah. You haven't. She's,
you guys?
No, she's really hot. She goes to other school.
She's really hot.
This is only helping when I eventually make you dinner. You're gonna be like, that's all right, we really bad at you.
We're edging again.
What is your go-to dish that you feel so confident about? Big dick on the table.
Well, yeah, what's Euler's showstopper?
Oh no, I mean they're just recipes. But so you know, some people are bad calling recipes, but I make like Szechuan food all the time.
Oh, mine bad.
Sorry.
I ain't eating no Szechuan food cooked by a white chick that lives in Germany.
Well, if you live in Germany and you get a little bit tired of eating bad Chinese food, maybe you'll come to my house and you'll eat your words instead of my mapo tofu.
Okay.
Beautiful. I can only imagine your wok shui. Not a joke, not an insult. I was being for reals.
Thanks.
Okay, yeah, Chris, you were talking about the German precision of Soul Cycle. I would like to hear a little bit more about that as well.
Okay. The German precision. I like how you pronounce that as well, Soul Cycle.
Thank you.
So the spin class I go to here is not a Soul Cycle style spin class. It is they measure your heart rate, so that's how they like keep your points.
Yeah, there's a place like that in America that was very popular as well.
Yeah.
Competitive.
Yeah, it's very competitive, but because it's Berlin, you can't like be overtly competitive, but I am. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend, speaking of, coined the great term for the clientele of this spin studio that we go to, which is the Berghain bourgeois. So it's all techno music.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's all techno. It's in a dark. It's like sometimes there'll be house.
Don't worry, Chris. They play house sometimes.
Thank God. I was wondering. I was wondering if there's any other options.
And it's like
if they had
dark,
any Katy Perry or house.
No Katy Perry. No fucking Taylor Swift ride or whatever the fuck.
Your loss.
It's like a dark basement and they have lights and like there's no like mantras, like they don't fucking encourage you, there's no sort of like spiritual like this is your journey, you're here for you, blah 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 blah. it is just techno. Everyone's wearing black. Often you like come out and there's like two guys in huge sweatshirts talking about the sets at Panorama Bar last weekend. And it's hard. It's harder than SoulCycle. It is hard. It's like harder than Peloton. Like, it's the best.
Is there any yelling involved?
No, certainly not.
Okay.
If you speak,
no talking.
And
no talking at all.
No talking. And in fact, like at the beginning, sometimes like new people will show up and like the instructor will be like, excuse me, everyone can hear you. Please be quiet.
Oh God. Are the instructors hot at least?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots. Many of them are hot. I think you get bonuses if you make your own mixes, for example. Some of them are like are DJs. Some of them are former DJs, got out of the lifestyle and now they do cycling. I've been going for a long time. So, you know, you say hi to people. Sometimes you run into them at Berghain. Like, it's a whole stupid. I mean, my boyfriend, what he said is true. It is like it's very much like a scene. And like a sub scene, which is like you like counteract your horrible clubbing with very rigorous cardiovascular exercise.
I'm cool with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
A tale as old as time.
And you can dance longer because, you know, you've been training. You've been training.
Because of my cardio.
Yeah.
You've been training. I've been training for this my whole fucking life. Let's go for the sunrise set, baby.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what that does for your stamina.
Yeah, my stamina.
Damn it. I just don't like off-brand workouts, and that's my problem.
He's close-minded.
SoulCycle is what it's like. That's the baseline.
No, but and it sucks. I was just at fucking SoulCycle on Friday. It sucked, dude. It's way better. This is way better. It's way
harder.
Well,
it's dead now. I mean, it's over now. It's over now. But in its heyday, if we would go to this place in Paris, and I'd be like, this just is off.
Well,
it's
that's
like,
because they only started exercising in Paris 3 years ago, and they like don't know how it's done.
I didn't know the Germans were so known for exercise.
They are. I was going to make a dark joke. I'm not going to. It used to be in Berlin. The Germans have a very particular way of exercising, which is very slow for long periods of time.
It's because nobody works, but
you go to the, and they also like believe in sort of natural, that movement and like natural, blah, blah, blah. You can't get too excited or like your blood, like they have like real sort of like, superstitious beliefs. They're also like afraid of moving. They're afraid of moving air. But they also believe you need to air out your apartment in a certain way, like once, but they like hate an air conditioner because they think it makes you sick. All this kind of stuff.
Afraid of moving air?
Yes.
This is not a flatulation joke. Could you explain what that means?
They believe that like fans or the air conditioner like make you sick.
Oh God. I knew this was no, that's fucking stupid.
I like that. so like you could go into someone's house and they'll be able to know if the who's moved my air?
My air was over there earlier. And now you have moved it.
This is wrong.
This is fudge. No, and they also, but that's funny, like they're very afraid of getting sick, but when you get sick, like it's a known thing that if you need antibiotics for something, you have to lie to the doctor and tell them that you're going out of the country. You're going out of the country and you have to like appeal to their horrible racism and be like, I'm going to Serbia tomorrow and I'm really worried that I'm going to be sick there and I don't want to go to a Serbian doctor. And they're like, oh yes, okay, we'll give you an antibiotic. But otherwise they're like, you need to drink this tea. This tea is very good for the aketo and blah, 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 blah. And so you have to just like, you have to know the moves in order to get them to prescribe you anything, which is good on some level, but also like there are some, you know, there are some things about modern life that are good and, you know, antibiotics. In certain cases are one of those things.
Sure.
But the spin to the point about spin class and like salad bowls down the street, you know, American hegemony, you know, soft American soft cultural power is real. And enough of us moved here that there was like a demand. But to your point about off-brand exercises, you know, all of the startups in Europe are off-brand, right?
Yeah.
They don't, you know, I think the company that is analogous to this spin class that I go to, which also does like weightlifting HIIT classes, is like Orange Theory, probably.
Also off brand, but
yeah, well, yeah, but it's now it's ubiquitous, is my understanding.
It's big in Germany,
but not Orange Theory. It's like off brand, and we don't have class.
Oh,
pass.
Okay.
We don't have class pass. Like they have a bit of class pass, but the thing that's popular is called like Urban Sports, and it's basically like class pass. And then there's also like, what's another one? We don't have Zappos. We have Zalando.
Yes, I'm familiar. Well, Zalando is a pretty giant corporation. I'm familiar with Zalando.
Do they have it in the U.S.?
No, but they bought High Snobiety. So I think people learned about it there. But I know about it because my friend Ellis like works there. And she like...
I know Ellis.
Yeah.
I know Ellis from Vice. Yeah.
So I was... And she was like, I have to move to Berlin. And then she hated it, of course. And now they're back in London. But I was like...
Oh, I didn't know that.
I knew that it was like but it's not like super familiar because
No.
It's the same idea as Zappos though.
Yeah. And also like the delivery... God, what's the fucking delivery app everybody gets in the U.S.? What's it called?
DoorDash?
There's several.
No.
Uber Eats.
Postmates?
No, the other one. The one that everybody...
Deliveroo. GoPuff.
Seamless?
Seamless, yes. Oh, my God. So European.
Lauren, Seamless. Seamless has been lapped many times.
Yeah,
at this
of course.
Point.
But we don't have any of those, right? We have all sorts of, like, we have Volt.
Do you not have Deliveroo?
Do we have it? Maybe we do have Deliveroo. I don't even know.
I just watched this week's John Oliver, and he unpacks the delivery stuff, which we've all heard is so bad, you know?
Yeah.
And then you find out, like, it's kind of insane. Like, I didn't realize...
It's even worse than you thought.
Restaurants make... Like, if you order $25 worth of food, the restaurant gets, like, 10 bucks.
It's just... I mean, you know, this is how you can tell I'm a good person, is that I can't even name the delivery apps. Because I don't use them.
So brave.
It's so brave.
I know, I'm brave.
So brave.
I think that's one of the coolest parts about you, Lauren.
That my bravery, or the fact that I don't get my food delivered?
All of it.
Thanks.
They're well connected.
Thanks. That's why I'm on How Long Gone.
Mm-hmm. I had a few questions based off of the excerpt from your from your book, which I have not read yet, unfortunately, but I'm gonna buy it soon.
Thanks. Thanks.
I'm going to, yeah.
I don't care if you read it, just buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
No, I'm just kidding. It's great. You should read it. Let's hear it. Questions.
Well, now I'm kind of on the fence.
Okay.
Is there a song that has been stuck in your head for decades?
For decades?
Or maybe just like a very long period of time. You know when you have like an anxiety song stuck in your head that might just randomly pop up out of nowhere? A little repeating riff or bar?
That's a good question, but when I write or when I'm like in a zone of some sort, I listen to the same song over and over and over again. And so, yes. And then they turn into like mantras, like they're not songs anymore. And the one that I'm thinking of is this like horrible German trance track called Mein Kopf ist leer, which means my head is empty. And it goes, my head is empty. My head is empty. Think. I can't anymore. Like I've tried and like nothing worked. And it just goes over and over and over. Like my head is empty over and over and over again. So that one.
So that one plays in your head when you're just trying to get going, get motivated.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a sort of ironic motivator, I suppose. Or also when you're like, you're like, I can't think anymore. And instead of thinking, I can't think anymore, you think mein Kopf ist leer.
Sounds like a real punishment.
It's a punishment. Yeah. I listen in general. Sorry to say this is so, I'm being so annoying. I mostly listen to fucking DJ sets when I'm working.
Can you explain why you said DJ sets in such a way? The literal word DJ sets?
Well, should I say sets? What would that mean?
No, sets. You said DJ sets, but just the way you said it, you're just like,
the disgust. Well, the disgust was palpable.
The disgust in his, yeah.
We've just talked about Berlin so much.
Sure. It's hard to escape the DJ culture as much as you try.
Yeah. And they're everywhere, you know? And the music is everywhere. And then you're like, actually, somehow this is like the music I listen to now.
Okay. So you're doing some NTS mixes, some whore?
Some her. I don't know. It's her. Can you do it?
Hell.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Hell.
It's the O with an umlaut. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when I'm writing, as we discussed, like I find it very difficult, and I need momentum and I need like energy, because otherwise like I will become very depressed and overly anxious. So I listen to like dance music.
And also dance music oftentimes does not have lyrics that can be distracting when you're writing words.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Or the lyrics are like so stupid that they seem like not lyrics.
You're not listening to The National.
No, I'm not listening to The National. And I'm also not listening to classical music or like I had a psychotic friend that I no longer speak to who listened to very loud rain sounds while we were working on his earphones.
When you say working...
Oh, he was working. We would like work in the cafe or whatever. He was definitely working.
Okay.
I was like,
I was making a sexual reference. Sorry.
Yeah, he was the rumor about Leonardo DiCaprio wearing his AirPods while he has sex. Because
I've played rain sounds while I'm putting in work. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. You're also a psycho. Stay far away from me. He put that. I was like, can I hear it? One time we were sitting in the cafe, and I was like, can I listen? And he put the earphones, I put his headphones on my ears, and it was the rain sounds were so loud that I was like, I need to get away from this man. Like, I need to get away from this man.
So this is like a Garden State scene where you put on the headphones and play instead of the Shins.
Yes, it was.
He's
the
listening
rain.
To rain sounds track 12 at full volume, like a serial killer.
There's a certain like denial of reality involved there that I found disturbing.
If the rain stops, I kill again, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Too true. Anyway, next question. You have some questions, some more.
Well, I guess speaking of rain sounds, a sentence that you, or a phrase that you wrote stuck out of my head, the ambient tension of contemporary life.
Oh yeah,
and I don't know. It just had a nice ring to it, and it actually kind of sounds like a title of a national song, oddly enough. But
that's true.
Could you speak a little bit more on that dope line?
Well, I think that because of our, you know, the phone, so boring to say. Yeah, you're like something's always happening on your phone. What's happening on your phone? You don't know. You could always look at your phone, right? The fact that you could always look at your phone, but also everyone around you could always look at their phone. Everyone around you is watching you. You don't know, you know, it's not just like the horrible drama of being perceived like by your loved ones. It's like the public sphere is no, like being in public is like kind of a nightmare because there's some like, who knows who's filming you? Like someone's trying to fucking prank you. And so like the thing that I get like saddest
Ashton Kutcher's
about,
could be around any corner.
Yeah. These like, but they're like just annoying kids, you know, like there's not Ashton Kutcher. At least Ashton Kutcher like had like a whole apparatus. It's just like fucking kids on their phone, like trying to get famous.
Okay.
And like, I also, what I really don't like is the like horrible suspicion I have now whenever anyone comes up to me and asks me a question. You're like so unused to people engaging with you in public in any way that like anytime someone does,
right,
you're like, what do you want from me? You know, when actually like sometimes they, you know, they're trying to help you or they have a question that you can help them answer, you know, that you can easily answer for them or like,
right,
you know, or you're at a bar.
You might have a piece of toilet paper stuck to your shoe and they're trying to assist you.
Yeah.
And then they made you take your headphones off and you are in a position where you're about to physically attack them, perhaps.
And you're not, you know, yeah, exactly. And you're not like allowed to talk to people at bars anymore. And like this, you know, and it goes both ways, right? So you also sort of keep your distance from everyone. Like you don't make eye contact. Like it's all just sort of, it's very stressful actually. And people think they're avoiding stress by not engaging in like face-to-face interaction, but actually they're like just like living in the stress of the potential for being interacted with. And I think that sucks.
Oh, I think that stinks. Okay,
it's
yeah.
It's bloody awful. Yeah. It's bloody awful. No, I mean, I think you're...
We hate it.
I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right. And it's definitely...
Say more on that, Charlie.
It's definitely something that happens. It's definitely something that happens. And it's only going to get worse. It's only
going to
get. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse.
Well, it's only going to get worse unless you have the confidence of a straight white man. We can go up and talk to anyone in a bar, tell random strangers whatever we feel like.
Those girls you talk to, they're going to tweet about it. They're going to tweet about it, and they're going to misrepresent the joke that you made for likes. I know.
Jason,
they're going to step all over my punchline.
I don't think anybody does that anymore. I mean, maybe in like a flyover state bar that has peanut shells in the ground, you know, like old school. But I don't think in modern society, like I don't think a guy in New York City at a bar would approach anyone.
It's a little more treacherous, but I'm a firm believer, and it's what how you say it, not what you say.
Yeah,
kind of. But
I think that's but it also depends. Like you've got to find the right person. Like you know, you've got to find the right person. Where some people they really are like, why are you speaking to me? Why are you talking to me? And that is also so dispiriting that you have to like be able to read people in order to like understand if any kind of interaction.
I can just tell by looking at a bitch if she's gonna hate me. and I move on to the next one, you know.
Remember Jason, remember when Jason and I were in Indiana because we were making some coffee.
Uh-huh.
And
we weren't pouring a cup, we went to a coffee making company.
Tinker. We did a collaboration with this coffee making company, and when we were there, we're at the hotel. We're in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And these two girls walked by, and one of them was wearing this like pretty obscure hardcore band t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nice shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the way that she looked, the disgust in her face, like I was about like that I was it was unbelievable. She was so annoyed that I gave her a compliment and just, I didn't say anything else.
It was like a Shai Hulud shirt or something.
Yes,
it was an old obscure band that has not played, you know, it's a band we used to listen to high school and nobody really knows about them anymore.
Yeah.
We just randomly saw these people wearing it and we're like, wow. Cool shirt.
But it's such a fucking bummer because...
As if we said, hey, nice tits.
Yeah.
She probably looked at how you were dressed. I mean, she probably, I don't know, whatever, we're projecting now, but she probably looked at how you were dressed and how you looked. And she was like, these guys are making fun of me. These guys couldn't possibly know this is your hardcore band. Mm. Fuck them, right? And
Chris is tatted up, though.
That's possible.
But what were you wearing?
That's actually...
Not to blame the victim, but what were you wearing?
We don't victim blame on how long gone. No, I think that I was probably... I mean, look, I dress like a cop, so I'm sure she saw that, you know, and
yeah, exactly.
Acted accordingly, but I was just like, oh,
he was wearing this black Fred Perry shirt with yellow trim.
Oh no. No.
Is there something? Oh my god, now I see it now. As soon as I said it, I see it.
I told him to leave it at home. Lauren, I told him to leave it at home, but he fucking packed it anyway. I told him.
Well, speaking of looking at phones, and you could always look at your phone and the people you're with can always look at their phone. Before smartphones existed, the first time, like when you wake up in the morning, we all just pick up our phone and look at it, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah.
What did you do? You remember what you used to do before that?
Well, no, because I'm 33. What did I do? Like, when did I get a smartphone? I must have gotten
I was only this many when I got a smartphone. That's kind of what you're saying.
Well, I must have gotten a smartphone when I was in college, right? So maybe like middle of college. So, but also, what did I do when I lived in fucking West Virginia? I don't know. I went to my fucking AP classes and I succeeded and I got the fuck out of there. But I'm saying like I probably woke up and drove to school and was at school from 7 in the morning, right? So I don't really remember. I wish I could. I wish I had a journal. I don't keep a journal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that I knew like what I was doing.
I know what I was doing. I was reading a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't really read.
You'd wake up and read.
I read a lot of magazines. I read a lot of magazines.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, I mean, I read a lot more magazines too, but like the very second you wake up, you know, do you just lay in bed and daydream?
Yeah.
Do you pick up the phone and call someone? Do you just immediately get out of bed.
No, you probably get it. Yeah, you probably just get up faster.
I mean, you're not like, I like writhe around in bed for like an hour looking at my phone when I wake up. Mm-hmm. And like sort of, you're kind of like sending emails a bit too. So it's like, you're not totally unproductive.
I'm working.
Mom. I have more memories of like what I did at night. Cause I was just like in my room in West Virginia. And like, I would like read the magazines. I made so many fucking collages out of magazines, and I would like do AIM, but not in this compulsive, like the way that I WhatsApp people like is like compulsive. Mm-hmm. And like sit in my room and like think about collage stuff. I was collaging. That's my vulnerable tidbit about me that you get at the end of the podcast if you make it this long. Mm-hmm. And like being miserable and like having crushes on guys and like them not reciprocating. I don't know. You know, I wish I knew. But like, I wish I knew what I was doing. What were you?
I mostly
doing?
Just lay around and have crushes.
Yeah, I read books. But I wasn't reading like serious books because I don't really think I like knew about them or have access to them until I went to college.
Doing Mad Libs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was studying for the SAT. I'm not kidding. I was like studying. I was studying for my
SAT. Damn, you're a nerd, huh?
What'd you get on the SATs, fucking nerd?
Oh man. Okay, so Nomi Fry, friend of the pod, asked me. We did an event in New York, and she asked me. She's like, sorry if it's a weird question, but the way that your logic works in the book, like, are you good at math? And I was like, actually, I got an 800 on the math SAT. Mm. And I got a 5 on Calc BC as well. And I got these messages from this crazy guy on Instagram afterwards that was like, you're self-obsessed, psycho. All the critics think, the thing that your critics say about you are right. Like, I'm so disappointed in your event with Nomi, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, is this because I said I got a perfect score on the math SAT? Because I would say it again. Yeah, I was a nerd, but what else could I have been? You know, there wasn't anything there, right? Like,
yeah,
there weren't even like parties, really.
Nothing but steers and queers.
The sport, yeah, you could go to like whatever sport season it was. We didn't even have a movie theater, I think, until I was 16 years old. So we like drove around and sat in the Taco Bell parking lot. So, yeah. And I didn't
go down to the creek for a spell.
Yeah, up the creek, Jason.
Up the creek for a spell.
The creek. Yeah, it's the creek.
Yeah.
I'm glad you made it out. Thanks. You know, I am glad you made it out because it sounds like you were, because this is true about a lot of people that are successful
survivor.
And come from a small town. It's like you were kind of obsessed with getting out.
Yeah. And it all, they always say you got out too. Like getting out is the verb that they use, mm-hmm. which is sad. Like, because there is, I mean, you were talking about this. There is this sort of like, oh, you think you're better than us. But there is also this sort of like, I want to get out too. Kind of like resentment and like hopeful, like sort of willfulness.
They didn't have the stones to do it.
I don't know. No, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, they're told that it sucks out here, right? Like people are like, no, actually,
yeah.
I had this like late breaking class war realization last time I was in West Virginia. Cause at the time I was living in Ithaca, New York, which is incredibly beautiful. And I went to West Virginia and I was like, oh my fucking God. They tell us it's beautiful so we don't get mad that we're fucking poor. And I was like, it's not even fucking beautiful here. And I was like, oh, way better. And it was real. It was like really upsetting to me at the time. And now it's just kind of, you know, it's very sad what they have done to it. Cause it did used to be beautiful. It did used to be beautiful, but no longer.
Damn, that's a real HBO's Girls style rant right there. Well
done. Yeah, is it?
For sure.
Is it? I don't know. What?
Yeah.
Not derogatory. Not derogatory.
I've only watched, I think, 2 seasons of it, maybe, so I couldn't say.
It's having a renaissance right now.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
I'm just saying.
To me as well.
Lauren, thank you for joining us on How Long Gone. No Judgment is in stores everywhere wherever you buy books. Make sure you pick that up from Amazon, my favorite small bookseller.
Oh. I'm going to go buy it in New York at a real bookstore. Remember those, Chris?
Yeah, buy it at a real bookstore.
Yeah, hit 3 lives.
And I'm going to go I'm going to go breathe on. I'm going to move someone's air when I buy that book.
But do not speak to any strangers in the process of purchasing it.
I cannot
figure it out, but the book is everywhere, and it's great. Go get a copy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Lola.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.